Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom. Both the Postal Service and its labor unions have been pleading with Congress for several years, hoping for a reform bill that would help return USPS to financial health. It hasn't happened yet, but the start of a new Congress in January brings another chance for lawmakers to try. Mark Dimenstein is the president of the American Postal Workers Union, which represents about 200,000 postal employees. We recorded a wide-ranging interview earlier this week about the union's priorities. In part one of our conversation, he tells me what he thinks is needed from a reform bill.
The underlying top priority that we have is to address a problem that was created in 2006 in what was called the Postal Accountability Enhancement Act that really manufactured a financial crisis against the public postal service. And what that law did is it forced the post office to pre-fund retiree health benefits 75 years into the future. That's for workers that not only don't work at the post office yet, some of them aren't even born yet. No other federal agency, no other government agency, no other private company is forced to do that. There was already quite good funding in place.
And to your point, not to interrupt, but I think importantly, a lot of those employees may actually never be hired.
That's right. That's right. It may happen. I mean, we don't know what the future is going to bring. But the fact is that the retirement plan is well-funded. It's not 100% funded, and nobody's retirement plans are 75 years out. What it did is it took $5.5 billion a year out of the postal treasury. And this is a treasury that's not funded by any tax dollars. It's funded by the users of the post office. $5.5 billion a year was taken out of postal operations, money that could be used for fleets and for trucks and for buildings and improved buildings, service and so on and so forth. And it really created a manufactured financial crisis that has been used to choke the post office and choke the service to the postal customers. So really the main thing we need out of postal reform is to fix that manufactured crisis, to fix the pre-funding of health insurance. Even now, most of the people in Congress that anyone would talk to that was even part of the vote in 2006 will say, boy, that didn't make any sense. But they haven't taken any action to either fix it by itself or fix it as part of comprehensive postal reform. So if that's our main goal in postal reform going forward, and we're optimistic that that'll happen early in 2017.
Well, on the big topic of the Postal Service's financial condition, I mean, from your customer's perspective, I'm not sure many people are seeing too many effects from it. I mean, they're still getting reliable mail delivery for the most part. Postage rates are pretty stable. In fact, they fell this year. From your perspective inside the postal system, what are they not seeing? You know, how, if at all, are these big operating losses quarter after quarter impacting operations specifically?
Well, Jared, first, on the operation side, the post office is making money. The losses are this $5.5 billion that's on paper right now. So on the operation side, the last two or three years, the Postal Service has been doing quite well. But it has had effect on the customer. This manufacture crisis has caused the closing of a number of what they call mail processing plants. That has slowed down the mail. There used to be overnight delivery mail between cities that were in close proximity. That was changed to two-day and beyond. Then they stopped overnight delivery even within the same city from one side of the street to the other. Those are direct products of this manufacturer crisis. In rural areas, a number of post offices have been closed. Hours have been cut. There's a lot of post offices are now only open 4 hours a day. Even where I'm from in Greensboro, North Carolina, they started closing neighborhood post offices that had lines going out the doors people use all the time. They started closing them at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, right when many people are getting off from work. Mail for small businesses that many use post office boxes. Instead of mail being up by 8 or 9 in the morning, now it's not sorted until 11 a.m. in the morning. Those are all products of the economic squeeze, not having enough staff, and so on and so forth. So the fleet is another example. It's an aging fleet. It's 30 years old. all of the letter carriers you see out on the street in these vehicles. Those vehicles need to be replaced with new vehicles, vehicles that can handle more packages, vehicles that are more fuel efficient, and so on and so forth. And the post office really hasn't had enough money to do those kind of things. So we're holding on. You are right that it's still a valuable service. It's still a very good service, but it has been diminished and undermined behind this pre-funding manufacturer crisis.
Yeah, and I know the OIG has done some work in the past year or two on facility conditions, particularly at retail locations, which I'm sure have something to do with the financial condition of the post office.
Absolutely, 100% right.
And it's so, I mean, until and unless we get some relief from Congress on the pre-funding issue and other issues, are there things that you and management can do together to improve that situation?
That situation, meaning the physical condition of the buildings you were talking about?
You got it, yeah.
Yes, I mean, you are fundamentally correct that it does tie back into the finances. But we have vehicles to, if there are safety problems, for instance, for the workers on the inside of the buildings, we have vehicles as unionized workers. We can bring the attention to management either through labor management safety meetings, even through grievances. It's one of the great things about having a union. We have a voice that many workers don't. And often when we bring safety violations forward, management will cooperate and fix them. We are in discussions with management about that. A lot of the facility problems are because there isn't enough staffing of the maintenance employees that do the repairs on these buildings. Some of that goes back to the financial squeeze, but some of it can be addressed through better staffing. So obviously the underlying way to improve the condition of the buildings, and we want every worker to work in a safe environment of building, and we want every customer to be able to come into a clean, well-lit, safe building where they want to come back, right? So obviously there is a lot of work to do on that, and hopefully when we get good legislation that puts the post office on a fairer and better financial footing, that a lot of these will fall into place as well.
Another topic of some of the legislation that I think has been discussed is just ways to find new revenue streams if Congress will allow USPS to do that. Do you take a view on whether there are some opportunities out there outside the core mail delivery business, or is it your position that they need to stick to the bread and butter?
Our position is that there are great opportunities, and there are many ways to bind the nation together, which is the mission of the Postal Service. The most striking that much could be done without legislation is for the post office to expand and provide more financial services. The post office does some already, such as money orders. But there's many, many things that the post office could do, such as paycheck cashing. And we have a huge social problem in this country, Jared, and I think most of your listeners probably are at least somewhat aware of it, and that's the payday lending, check cashing, what we call the legal loan sharking industry, which preys on the working poor, often military families, single adult households, single woman households, people that are between jobs, immigrants, and so on and so forth. And the postal services throughout many parts of the world provide what they call, quotes, postal banking. We had a U.S. Postal Service, Postal Bank in this country between, I think, 2000 and, I'm sorry, 1911, I'm jumping ahead, 1911 to 1966 or 67. If we were to go back to a pure savings bank, that would take legislative reform. But there are a lot of things the post office can do on the financial side that would not take legislative action, not need to. It would alleviate this tremendous burden on the working poor that gets stuck in this payday lending, check cashing industry. And it would bring revenue. Certainly it would bring revenue into the post office as well. So those are easy things. And along with those things could become, debit cards. We could have ATMs in post office. We could do more passports, which the post office does, but they are diminishing it rather than growing it. We could do licensing. hunting and fishing and so on and so forth. So when people come to mail a package and mail a letter or get a money order, they can take care of some of their other business as well. So we think that there's great opportunities, and the we certainly hope the post office will work with us and jump on many of those.
The banking issue is really interesting to me, because certainly I could imagine the traditional banking industry opposing a legislative reform like that if it's going to compete with them in areas where they are doing business. But as you kind of indicated, there are a lot of communities where they aren't doing business, unbanked, lower-income communities where there aren't banks, but there are post offices. So
that's right.
You'd have
that's
to strike right, a balance yeah. there, I think.
That's right. And it's very interesting, because in the internet age, the banks are leaving more and more small towns, inner city neighborhoods, and so on and so forth. And so what happens is more and more people do not have access to regular banking services, and more and more of them end up in this, again, what we call the legal loan sharking industry. And so really, it's a beautiful way to bring city and countryside together. Often issues that people are divided on. This is something that would serve all of the people in this country. And it's not a few people. Estimates have as high as 80 to 100 million people that do not have access to basic banking. So certainly we would not hope that the banks who are not servicing these communities would oppose the public post office on a public service, but a fair fee basis to fill that gap and fill that void. I think it'll be a great service to the country. And we're well trained. Our people are already well trained in financial transactions. They're accountable. We have code of ethical conduct, internal police apparatus, and so on. So it's a really not a hard thing to do, and a great match to have post employees provide these kind of services, which, as I said, they're already doing a number of them now. This would be to build on that and grow on it.
How about drone delivery? I don't think the Postal Service is seriously looking at that yet, but I know the IG has started to ask some questions. And you know, obviously the technology is not quite to the point yet where they can keep them from running into buildings and running into people. But once it does get there, could you see drones having a place in postal delivery?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's very problematic. I think this whole drone delivery thing, in terms of public safety, in terms of privacy, in terms of security of the mail, even in terms of the economic possibilities. I mean, right now, if there's a truck full of 100, 150 packages into one neighborhood, that gets done, you know, within an hour or two or whatever it takes. What are you going to, they're going to have one drone take one package into a neighborhood and then go back to a post office and bring it again? And I'm not sure the people of this country want drones dropping into their front yards or backyards. So I guess you'd say I'm on the side of the pessimistic on this one. I think it's very problematic. I honestly do not know on this issue the thinking of postal management. We haven't had any conversations about it. At least our union hasn't. But, you know, we'll have to see what the future brings. But one of the great things about postal services having hands on the mail and the packages is the sanctity of the mail. The protection and the privacy of the mail is fully protected. You can't do that with drones.
Mark, you mentioned a couple times earlier in our conversation, the term public postal service. And yet, mm-hmm. as you also said, it's not funded by any tax dollars. Talk a bit about what you mean by a public postal service, and do you feel like that system is potentially under threat?
Well, I think that the public postal service to us and to most of the people in this country is truly a national treasure, 1 year older than the country itself. And it's based on its principle is universal service. That means every single person, wherever we live, rural, city, whoever we are, economic status, race, gender, and so on and so forth, get equal service. And we get it at equal and uniform rates, basically. You can't have that if it's not in the public domain. because once it becomes privatized, or large pieces of it becomes privatized, and there are privatizers that would like to get their hands on the money that comes into the post office, it generates about $70 billion a year. But it gets turned back into the system that serves the people of the country on a break-even basis and provides good jobs along the way, which is very important to our country and our neighborhoods and our families as well. So, you know, how could a private company take a letter for 47 cents and send it from Washington, D.C., which where I am now, and I understand you're on the other side of the country. But the post office, because the system has to go to everybody, it gathers all the mail, can do it on a uniform basis at reasonable rates. This has become, I think, even more critical in the days of e-commerce, because if e-commerce is going to work, somebody has to be able to service all of those addresses. And once it's based on how much money somebody can make going to that address, they're going to pick and choose who gets service, who gets the packages, who gets the Amazon Primes and so on and so forth, who gets those birthday cards, who gets those medicines through the mail for our veterans, and so on and so forth. And once that happens, the whole system falls apart. So we are very keen that this belongs to the public. It needs to stay in the hands of the public. And it is a great success story while things are changing with the mail, but it is a great success story that will carry forward in this revolution of e-commerce, and needs to carry forward for e-commerce to actually work.
And yet the public body that oversees the postal system, the Board of Governors, has no members at the moment. I'm trying to get a sense of whether or not that matters in a big way for operations or management of the postal system.
I think in the short run for operations, it doesn't matter. Postal management has always been authorized to run the day-to-day operations. In the long run, over policy issues and some other things that may matter, there will be a board when we get comprehensive postal legislation as part of a package. We, the American Postal Workers Union, I think I can speak for the other postal unions as well on this. We want people on the Board of Governors that are strong believers in this great national treasure, this institution of ours. And unfortunately, some of the nominees over the last couple of years have really had an aim to privatize the Postal Service. We don't want the fox guarding the hen house. So, there have been some differences there. But I think if there's postal legislation, that part of that postal legislation will be an acting Board of Governors.
Gotcha.
So.
And I understand a lot of the things that you think need to happen depend on legislation. But absent legislation, just in your everyday dealings with Postal Service management, what are the biggest issues that you're kind of working through with them? What are your members most want management to do at this stage?
Well, one of the biggest issues that we're working together with management on is postal legislation. Leaving that aside, and we've had a lot of cooperation on trying to get solid legislation that puts the Postal Service on better footing and does away with this pre-funding crisis that we talked about earlier. What our members want from postal management, and we have areas that we cooperate and certainly we have some disagreement, is our members really do want the best service to the people of this country. Just like many of your listeners, we're very proud of the public service that we provide. And we want to do it the best that we can, and we want the public to get the service that they deserve. And they aren't always getting that. For example, I talked about the slowing down of the mail. That frustrates our people. It frustrates our members when postal management makes deals with retailers like Staples, where they were putting in full-blown post offices into these retailers, not staffed by postal employees, but staffed by untrained, unaccountable Staples employees. And it was a transfer of decent-paying jobs to low-wage jobs. And, of course, it makes the service more vulnerable to the patrons because there's not the security, there's not the sanctity. And, of course, what happens when a Staples store closes? You know, if it's a post office that belongs to the country, it's part of the public infrastructure, that basically is going to be there if there's going to be a move or it's going to be closed. People have public input and so on and so forth. If Staples becomes the post office and the store closes, we don't have a post office anymore. So our members don't want those kind of schemes. We want to expand services to the public within the infrastructure that we have. It can easily be done. We unite with the idea of having post offices open on Saturday, having 6 and 7 day mail delivery. All of that's good, and we want the postal management to be very open to new ideas such as the financial services. And when I say sometimes we're in contention, sometimes we're in cooperation. I mentioned the Staples thing, and there's been a boycott on Staples for the last 3 years. We have agreed with management that for the next year, they're not going to expand those kind of programs, and we're going to sit down and put our heads together, union and management, about how to best deal with the needs of the customers out there and what we call, quotes, the future of retail services at the Postal Service. So we have some disagreements, but we have some areas that we're trying to work together on as well.
Mark, finally, I'm just kind of curious about what things look like in the postal system right now. And by right now, I mean as we sit down to record, this is obviously the busiest time of the year. As you mentioned before, there's a shrinking processing network and increasing mm-hmm. package delivery business.
Right.
Are your folks managing this okay with the resources they've got?
Well, my understanding is that the Postal Service, and of course it wouldn't be happening without all the dedicated postal workers from all crafts, my understanding is they're having a bang-up holiday season, that volume is even increased more than they thought. I think it's up about, package volume up about 14% from last year. Revenue is higher than they thought, and the delivery standards are improving, which is good news to our ears. We've been very upset with postal management over the last few years that there hasn't been enough attention paid to service. And of course, that goes back to the funding, staffing, and so on. So I think they're having a good holiday season for the worker. It's a hard holiday season. People work straight out sometimes for 20 and 30 days, 12-hour days. Many of us would rather be with our families, but it comes with the turf of serving the people of this country, and we and the rest of the postal workers proudly do that. And so we're very optimistic about this holiday season. Of course, the more online e-commerce takes off, the more and more of these packages, not solely, but more and more of these packages are going to come through the postal system. And it's the best system that's there. It works great. It's reasonable. We think it has to be and will be here, and it's a vibrant service for public service for generations to come. Even with whatever changes happen in technology and the internet and so on and so forth, Jerry. We do have a grand alliance to save our public postal service. We feel that the post office does belong to the people of the country, and they're the ones that are going to have to fight to defend it. If people are interested, there's a website, agrandalliance.org, that they could look at. There's a wonderful new short video from country singer Willie Nelson talking about the post office and what it's meant to him and the importance of keeping it strong. There's another great video from actor-activist Danny Glover, whose parents were postal workers. So if anybody wants to go on that website, agrandalliance.org, they can join this fight. It's got over 150 organizations that are part of it. There's 80 national organizations that are part of it, from faith-based, civil rights, community, labor, rural farmer, and so on, who have come together to help not just preserve and protect, but to expand this vital service. And of course, the good living wage, stable jobs that have come with it. Because as I said earlier in the conversation, that's also part of having good communities and good neighborhoods and a good country. People have to be able to make a decent living and have job security in the process. And that's the way we start to deal with this growing income and wealth inequality that has become so extreme in this country. So you know that Grand Alliance is an exciting prospect. And again, you know, the Postal Service helps unite the people of this country around some of their common interests. Universal Uniform Service, part of our small D democracy. There's an interesting new book out. I can't remember the author's name right now, but basically I think the title is How the Postal Service Created America. And it really talks about, for the 200 years, how important the Postal Service has been to the individual life, to commerce, to the growth of the country. And we think that's going to go forward, and we're proud to be part of it.